Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 12:12 p.m. Well, no, sorry, it isn't. It's a.m. That's just past midnight in Saudi Arabia, so it's going to be just after the U.S. close. But I thought we'd kick off to talk about Egypt because right now the 12-month yield is 21.5% on the bid and 18 in 0.45 on the ask. So not only do you have very high yields, but you've got a very wide spread, and that tells us that it's not an especially liquid market. But Egypt was forced today to float the pound, so it quickly devalued and then appreciated a little off the lows intraday, and the prospect of very high interest rates should help to stabilize the currency, and also that it might help to mitigate some of the inflationary pressures. But I tend to view these kinds of events very much in terms of the wider liquidity issues that we're seeing in this market, because what I found also particularly interesting at the Future Minerals Forum today was the number of African communities that are actively bypassing their governments and coming directly to an investment forum like this looking to source funding. I had a fairly lengthy conversation with a couple of tribe chiefs from Ghana. Now, of course, Ghana was another country that's had a lot of debt issues over the course of the last year. And we certainly, or at least I certainly, didn't see anybody from the local community in Ghana at this conference a year ago. But they were certainly out in force at very much saying that all you needed to do was make an agreement with a local chief, that then that chief would help to enforce the deal, and all that people wanted was some investment to build schools and hospitals in their region, and that they would be willing to sign deals of anything up to about 20 years. But that is completely circumventing the government. And that is, I think, another testament to just how dire some of the economic situations are in emerging markets. Now, of course, some of that has to do with Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the much tighter sanction regimes that have been imposed, the liquidity knock-on effects that that's had on emerging markets. But then we also have the fact that this is all happening at the same time that central banks are raising interest rates, engaging in quantitative easing, excuse me, quantitative tightening after a really profound period of quantitative easing. And then on top of all of that, you have money supply growth, which is now basically zero. So there's no new money coming into the market. The quantity of bonds in the market is decreasing, and interest rates have been rising. So we're starting to see these liquidity events. Now, that's a precursor to deeper issues later on. We've already seen not only in emerging markets, but the pension crisis in the UK, the perpetual bonds issues in South Korea, the fact that property REITs have been denying people to people's request to take money out. All of those are liquidity events. Now, at present, bond yields are coming back down, and they were down by over 8 basis points in here today. So that's a pretty meaningful move, coming back into the region of 3.5%. Now, 8 basis points would have been a big move on any day, but it doesn't show up a lot on these charts. But what we can say is that we have two lower highs now since the peak in October, and there's the prospect that yields are going to come down through the 200-day moving average. What is also especially relevant is that the 10-year yield is at 3.5%, and the 2-year yield is, give you the exact rate, at 4.25, 4.2% in fact, and also looks susceptible to additional downside. But the Fed funds rate is above both. And the dot plot assumes that there's going to be further interest rate hikes. So the bond market is betting one way, the Federal Reserve is betting another, and we're starting to see liquidity events around the world. So the bond market is signaling that the relevant risk is deflation, not inflation. That there are going to be problems that will need to be addressed, which will enforce some discipline on the Federal Reserve, that they will not be able to continue to raise rates as much as they want. And obviously, then that will put that is part of the reason why stocks are rebounding. Of course, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but the reality is that liquidity and interest rates have been the primary reason why stocks were weak in 2022. So, any prospect that interest rates might come back down and that liquidity could become more available is being greeted with enthusiasm by the technology sector in particular. So, the Nasdaq continues to extend its rebound and is bouncing still from the 11,000 level and the region of the lows from back in October and November, and looks likely to at least unwind the oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average. And potentially it could go farther than that, and we might see a less consistent downtrend overall, because we're still in this environment where investors are willing to think about liquidity coming back in, and they're not paying too much attention to the prospect of earnings rolling over when the accumulation of interest rate hikes and the lagged effect that they have eventually become evident in the wider economy. Now, the ARK Innovation ETF has been higher for the last couple of days, and this is a reasonably good sized bounce from the region of the lows. And it probably shows up better on the logarithmic scale chart. So the price is steadying now from the region of the low from back in 2020. And then let's also think about the Bitcoin price. So Bitcoin is up to 17,500, and this has been a reasonably impressive rebound over the course of the last week. Now, we've seen lots of much bigger moves than this. $73 on a 17,500 point index is not a big move. And we are coming back up into the upper side of the range from back in December. But this also helps to highlight that the rally in risk appetite has been modest so far. And I do think that there is the potential that we could go up further in the beginning of this year, because corporate profits have not yet rolled over. And then the relative discount rate that growth is measured against is also starting to moderate. So then that should be beneficial for valuations overall. But with those liquidity issues at rising up, and with the prospect of a weaker dollar, then it's reasonable that gold prices should be doing better. Now, the price was pretty much unchanged in here today. And then let's think about the oil price, where there are so many different moving parts. And I don't think that there's been as complicated a look at energy, at least for as long as I've been looking at it. But prices were in a dynamically higher fashion in here today and bouncing from the lower side of this range. So that's certainly at beginning to price in that economic activity will be more robust. And natural gas prices are continuing to firm here in the region of the $4 level. They're very oversold in the short term. I've initiated a long position. It's currently just about underwater. But I still think that we've got plenty of scope for a rebound. And that's particularly true if the cold weather that's being predicted for this weekend actually comes or follows through. Now, when Then we think about the stock market. Well, resources companies should be attracting attention, and the FTSE 100 wasn't quite able to hold all of its advance in here today, but it does look more likely than not that it will be breaking higher over the course of the next few months. So the heavy weighting that we have in the FTSE for with resources companies will certainly be a benefit or a benefit for it. BHP Billiton popped on the upside to test the 2800 point level or P level in here today. And this is a move to a new all-time high. So we're still in a reasonably consistent environment where we have a sequence of ranges, one above the last, and they're relatively similar sized in duration as well. So this is a substantial breakout in terms of the biggest miner in the world, and it does suggest that there's still enthusiasm for the mining sector. It's also, I think, worth considering that a strong performance by industrial resources is a late stage move after an already big advance in the wider economy, and that's particularly true as we came up off the 2020 lows. I'm still of the view that the epicenter of risk in this cycle is the private asset sector. There's been an extraordinary appreciation in asset prices, and those asset prices are starting to come back down. And with redemptions being denied by to people, I think that is something where there is the potential for a rather big surprise to occur. And then, of course, we have the challenge of the lagged effect of interest rate hikes. And if interest rates don't come down in a hurry, well, then I think it's inevitable that economic growth is going to weaken further. Then the H-share index was stronger in early trading today, and when I did my initial click through first thing this morning, it was right at the upper side of the range, but gave it up by the close. Now, the H share is a little bit overbought in the short term, so we might get a little bit of pause and consolidation. But China is the country which is most likely to add liquidity, and they certainly want to support the economy. So that's certainly moving money towards China on a simple factor that liquidity beats a market that doesn't have liquidity. And there's obviously the potential that Chinese equities could outperform over the course of the next few months. I think eventually bond yields will start to back up because there is a huge quantity of debt that needs to be issued in 2023. There are also no elections, so governments are relatively unconstrained in terms of what they do. And I think that we're going to have a compression in the 10-year yield. I even think it could go down as low as 2%. But then deflationary forces will give way to this rather large quantity of money that has to be issued, or large quantity of bonds that are going to be issued, and money that has to come from somewhere to pay for them, perhaps to be more accurate. And that is likely to cause indigestion and therefore higher yields overall. But I'm certainly learning a lot at the Future Minerals Forum. I've written a brief summary of my conversations today, but I'll have more tomorrow, and I look forward to relating everything I learn. With that, I'll leave for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.